B-Pod Studios.
For the last time this year, they talk, I don't know what I'm going to do without that. You know, I'm going to miss them, man. What am I going to do?
Wait till Friday.
Oh, he's the old man on Friday?
He's on Friday year-round. It's his last Monday.
This is his last Monday. I thought it was his last football analysis. Well, that's good. Picks up my spirits a little bit. Anyway, it's the great Brian Westbrook joining us for his final call on Monday. Brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Window Siding, and Decking. They will protect your house. Hello, Brian.
Unbelievable. Can't believe that you're trying to get rid of one of your only friends in Philadelphia. just unbelievable, Mikey.
I said I was going to miss you. I didn't know what I was going to do without you. But now that I realize you're on every Friday, I'm good. All right, so listen, man, there's so much to talk about. I don't even know where to go. But let's just start with the game last night, because I've been listening to a lot of ex-players say what they have to say. I saw the looks on a lot of players' faces last night when he did that. What was your reaction when he brought Sudfeld in the game in favor of Hurts, who really wasn't playing that well? But what did you think?
You know, Mike, I was surprised probably just as much as anyone else, and it also kind of symbolized that you're giving up at this point on that particular game. You know, Doug, he just does things, and then he says things after the game and the press conference that just don't make any sense. But, you know, as an analyst and as a fan of this football team, I would have felt much better if Doug would have simply said this during the week. Listen, we're going to play Nate Sudfeld the entire game. We're going to play him. He's going to play. We're going to play a bunch of young guys to see what we have on this roster. If we win, we win. If we lose, that's part of it. But this is how our thought process going into the football game. And if it played out that way, I would have had no problem. The problem that I'm having is that you start Hurts, and he's not playing well. We understand that. But I do believe that he was moving the ball decently. They weren't putting up a bunch of points. And that he gives you a better chance to win. The issue for me comes in when you take him out, you put Sudfeld in, and then after the game, you just kind of say, well, that was a game plan anyway, and, you know, we were still trying to win the game. Come on, Doug. That's I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy enough to think that you were still trying to win the game. To me, you were doing a favor for a guy that is in a role that you were in years ago in Green Bay and with Philadelphia to an extent. You were doing a favor to a guy, and that can be okay. But to me, again, the Philadelphia fan deserves to understand that part. And you have to come out and say, like, hey, when we won or lost, it really didn't matter as far as the season goes. You know, we have a better pick now. We have the 6th pick instead of the 9th pick. And I wanted to get Nate from film because he's my boy. I think the Philadelphia fan would have understood that a little bit better than what has happened over the course of the last 24 hours and the things that Doug has said.
So if you were going to play, you start him, and you don't put him in a 3-point game in the fourth quarter.
I mean, if your goal was to get him snaps, to get him film, if that was a goal, yeah, you start him. What was the purpose of waiting to that point? What was the purpose to waiting, to 12-minute mark in the fourth quarter? It just doesn't make any sense. To me, if you're going to get him tape and you're trying to do him a favor, allow the kid to play the whole game and protect the quarterback that you're going to go into next season as your starter with Jalen Hurts for all intents and purposes. Protect that kid. Why would you play him against one of the better defensive lines in the league, especially with a patchwork offensive line that we're playing with, and then take him out? To me, that just doesn't make sense. The decision making as far as how that entire thing went down last night.
Talk to me from a player standpoint. Like you see the guy in practice, and you probably realize what his limitations are. And then he goes into the game, and he looks like he's scared to death. Now, as a player trying to finish that game, how does that sit with you? And I'll take Kelce, for instance. I mean, that guy's been a warrior on that line for a really long time, and now he's got they're sending out this guy.
Oh, no, Mike, that was the point where I actually expected for the cameras to catch Jason Kelce and Doug Peterson having a heated conversation, because I thought that if there was one person on that team that has the clout and certainly has the ability to say what I'm about to say to Doug Peterson, it would have been Jason Kelce. But the conversation would have went like this. Listen, this may be my last game. I don't want to go out like this, and I deserve better than that. I deserve better than that from you. I deserve better than that from this organization. Give us a chance to win. I'm out here playing with one dog on arm. Give us a chance to win. That's what you owe me as a player. Because guess what I did all week long? I prepared my butt off to play in this football game. And you owe it to me as a coach that you give us the best chance to win, because that's what I prepared to do all doggone week. That's the conversation, or something like that. That's the conversation that I'm going to have on the sideline.
Can you actually do that with disrespect Sudfeld like that, though?
That's not disrespecting him.
You are. Sure, it is.
No, he's a third-string quarterback. I mean, that's what it is. Hey, Jason Kelce's an all-pro center, period. And listen, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody, but we got to call it what it is. Mm-hmm. And we saw it again last night. Nate Sudfeld's a third-string quarterback. Jason Kelce is an all-pro center. He's been a face of your franchise for a very long time. He deserved better than what he got last night from Doug Peterson, if that's the case. Because this is what Doug could have done. He could have went to Jason Kelce, and maybe he did, not that I heard of, and said, listen, we're going to play Sudfeld, and you get a choice if you want to play or not. Because we owe that to you. We at least owe that to you to give you that opportunity. And that's not what happened. And that's unfortunate. And that's not giving the respect to your veterans. Brandon Graham, Ertz. I mean, come on. This is Zach Ertz's last game in Philadelphia. I mean, they were trying to get him the ball as much as they possibly could. And you're going to end it with Nate Sudfeld on the field? I don't think that's respecting the guys that have been in the trenches and that have been in wars with you as a head coach. I think Doug was looking at it in the wrong lenses last night.
We're talking to Brian Westbrook. Brian, let's just sort out this quarterback situation. And I assume you heard Howie and Doug today. And the report that's on the outside is that it's a fractured relationship. He wants out. On the inside, they didn't address it at all. In fact, they try to dazzle you with a lot of horse crap. First of all, sort out what's happening here. With the Wentz situation, it looks like Doug's back. It looks like Howie's back. Where's Wentz?
Well, it seems apparent to me that the reports from Carson's side were in response to the notice that everyone got, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that Doug was going to be back. So now he's basically saying, okay, listen, I'm going to allow you, Jeffrey Lurie, to make a decision. I can't work with that guy. I can't work with Doug Peterson. So basically, it's him or me. And if you're sticking with Doug, I get it, but I'm out. I can't do it. That's the feeling that I got from the reports from Carson Wentz, that he's saying, I can't do it with this crew, Howie, Doug, owner, management, whatever it is. It's fractured, and it cannot be repaired. I can't do it. So at that point, he's saying he's out. I think Doug Peterson is smart enough to understand that Carson certainly, I mean, there's a reason why he was the number two draft pick, you know, 5 years ago, whenever it was. There's a reason, because he's that good of a player. Now we have to fix him. And Doug wants to keep his options open, because you would hate to see, again, this is our fear as Philadelphia Eagles fans, is that we see Carson Wentz go to whatever team, Indy, Green Bay, whatever, San Fran, whatever team it is, and he becomes a star. That's our fear. That's our fear with Ben Simmons. That's our same fear with Carson Wentz. And so we want to fix him. That's what Doug wants to do. But the one thing that they did not speak to in the press conference is, and Doug kind of spoke to it, but it doesn't seem genuine or true. It's Carson saying it's fractured, it's broken, it never can be repaired. And Doug is telling us that it's a good relationship. What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? It can't be both. And so now we're seeing two things. We're seeing how the quarterback feels, according to the report, and we're seeing how the coach, and he's understanding from his side. And those two things don't match. Maybe that's why it's fractured, because we're not both seeing the same two things. It's a terrible situation to be in. But, I mean, if you're Doug Peterson, what else are you supposed to say?
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He kind of got it. Like, he has to play this game like nothing's wrong, right? And then they'll decide, the front office will decide what's up from that point on. So, but here's what's attached to this whole thing, and I want to get your opinion on this, because you were high on the guy. Has Jalen Hurts proven enough to you that you can proceed forward with that guy while you're getting rid of Wentz?
I think Jalen Hurts, in the four games that he's played, has shown a lot of potential, especially in the first halves of all four of those games. Now, what we've seen in the second half, the defenses have adjusted and they've done different things to him. And as a rookie, he's looked like he's been confused. He hasn't been as productive in the second half of almost all those games. We understand that. That's clear. Those are facts. Now, what I've seen is enough to be able to say, okay, we're going to give you a full offseason, which he hasn't had yet. We're going to give you the opportunity to work with the ones, which, again, he hasn't had a full offseason or a entire season to be able to do that. And we're going to give you the opportunity to start. Meaning, if Carson Wentz was out, then we'll find a way to figure that out. We're not going to go draft another quarterback at number six. We're going to try to figure things out with our young quarterback, because when you look around the league, that's how you win early on. You get a cheap quarterback and you try to win that way. That's what I would do. I would say, you know, I cannot sit here and tell you that Jalen Hurts has played excellent, but I also can tell you that for the 12 games that Carson Wentz played, he did not play good at all. So now we've seen something that has potential in Jalen Hurts. Now let's nourish that. Let's put some weapons around him. Let's try to see if we can get the best out of him, put an offense around him that fits his skill set, and then go try to win football games. And really, if you listen to what Carson has said through his you know, reports and all those things, that's really the only option we have. Because how do you go back? If you're on that football team and you're Doug Peterson, after Carson, you know, again, these reports that are being put out, after the reports are saying that the relationship is fractured and cannot be repaired, as a coach, what else can I do? I said I want the kid. I said I believe in the kid. I've shown them that I believe in him by allowing him to start 12 games where I probably should have pulled him out after eight, whatever the number was. What else can I do as a head coach to regain that trust? There's nothing else I can do. So if that's fractured, now I have to move on and try to get the best out of the quarterback that I have. And at that point, that's Jalen Hurts.
All right, I'm not seeing it. I really am not.
You're not sold on Hurts.
No, I am not. If you're going to turn a franchise over to a guy, I don't think that he has an okay arm. I don't think he has a great arm. I haven't seen him squeeze the ball in. I saw that throw to Rager last night had a little flutter on it, and kind of like it faded to the right. I don't know what I see with this guy. I really don't, and I think it's real dangerous.
Well, let me ask you this, Mike. I mean, we were very, very patient at the beginning of Carson's career, very patient, and as far as his development. Why wouldn't we be just as patient?
Well, because Wentz came in with a better arm. I think he had a better NFL caliber arm. I think that's why that Hurts slid in the second round. But
I'm not talking about his arm. I'm not even talking about it. I'm talking about his production. We were very patient with him early on in his career.
Well, he produced right away, though. He produced right away. He made some highlight plays right away. He showed an NFL arm right away. I don't know what Hurts has shown me other than his escapability.
Well, that matters, number one. Jalen Hurts, that absolutely matters. But he's throwing the ball well. There's a couple throws. Look at the throw that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside last night. That was a big league throw. I mean, and here's the other part, Mike. Look at guys that we've mentioned this year about the back end of the MVP race. Guys like Josh Allen. He wasn't good his first three or four years. But now look at him.
He had a cannon. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can work with guys that have NFL arms.
From 5 yards to complete a pass. He couldn't do that.
Brian, if you're a coach, would you take a guy with a cannon that you can teach the 5-yard pass to? I mean, McNabb could throw the 5-yard pass.
Does Drew Brees have a cannon?
No. He's one of the few guys that succeeded that way.
Well, but he's accurate. There are quarterbacks in the NFL that are accurate. Tua doesn't have a cannon, but he's accurate. They find a way out to be accurate and allow that to move the ball down the field. I'm not sitting here trying to say that Jalen Hurts doesn't have a cannon. I'm not arguing that. I think he has a strong enough arm to be successful in the NFL. I think if you give him that same type of time to get better between your first year and your second year, then we'll find out if he can be a player.
All right. Now, let me ask you this question.
The quarterback has told us that he doesn't want to be here. We can't get around that.
No, I get it. I understand it. And my whole thing was, if you're going to bring Carson back, Doug had to go. And it looks doesn't look like he's going to go anywhere. So I got to pivot.
Today, Doug's going nowhere.
Right? Yeah, I got to pivot with that. But let me ask you this. If you get the sixth pick in the draft, and this probably won't happen, but so when you get the sixth pick in the draft, and Justin Fields slides there, and he's there for you, what do you do?
I'm not drafting a quarterback.
You're not going to draft Justin Fields. You're riding with Hurts.
I am.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I am. You would draft another quarterback?
I don't know what I would do, but by all accounts, Justin Fields is a much better prospect than Jalen Hurts ever was. So, I can't ignore it.
I think Justin Fields certainly is a much better prospect. But, again, that's a prospect. And we don't – because we don't know how Doug feels about it. From his standpoint, if he saw something special in Jalen Hurts, his ability to escape the pocket, and I know a lot of people are saying, well, that's not important. Well, it is. Look at some of the quarterbacks that are in the playoffs this year. They escape the pocket. They move around and still throw the ball down the field. They do the exact same things that Jalen Hurts has the ability to do. Josh Allen, obviously, Lamar Jackson down there in Baltimore. They do a lot of the similar things. I mean, their quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think, don't get me wrong. I think that's extremely valuable. But those other guys that you mentioned also have a gun. So we'll see what happens. Friday, we have to, we'll talk playoffs now that the Eagles aren't in. But we'll also have to put your Sixer hat on. Because by Friday, we'll be in Sixerville.
I'll be ready, man.
Well, there's another important thing that you have to do on Friday. You guys are going to have to pick all the playoff games.
Because
the picks are now. Brian's only the tie that Brian had early in the year in a Ravens game is the only thing separating the two of you on your record.
It's playoff time.
So
Brian.
Now you guys are going to have to pick all the playoff games.
It's playoff time.
To decide who's going to win because it's only a half a game apart
season. I like the challenge. See, I'm going to be studying. Ooh. I haven't studied that much this year. I'm going to be studying.
So, Brian, y'all got to be sharp for Friday because you're going to play it out. And then who knows? Maybe the Super Bowl will decide it. Who knows? It's that close.
I'll be ready.
Sounds good, man. All right, you have a great rest of the week. We'll talk to you Friday.
Take care.
Brian Westbrook.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.